The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Time and space is a place that only a human being locates. Where there's so much information to take, then you enter an entirely new place. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
I did not become so much different that I did not want to be. But I'm new here. Show me around.
Peace, this is Professor Griff. You're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
We started off today's program with I'm New Here, Gil Scott-Heron's title cut from his 2010 CD. And, of course, as most of you may know by now, Gil Scott-Heron made his transition on Friday, May 27th of this year, 2011. So we wanted to pay tribute to him playing his latest offering, I'm New Here. We're going to, after we hear some PSAs and a message, we're going to hear a commentary that I wrote on Gil Scott-Heron. Rest in peace, Gil Scott-Heron. And then we'll move into today's program. We have an exciting new talent. She's in what I would call the inspirational genre, and we'll speak with her and listen to some of her music following these messages and my commentary on Gil Scott-Heron. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay with us.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes, and from Live365.com. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is BlakeRadio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You can also access us from Live365.com in the talk radio category as well. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Log into BlakeRadio.com and visit the Blake Radio store right now for discount music CDs and your other shopping needs.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world, broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com as the email address and unlimited ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Rest in peace, Gil Scott Heron. Quote, "The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They are turning our brothers and sisters into mercenaries, and they are turning the planet into a cemetery." Unquote. Gil Scott Heron from his song, Working for Peace. For me, a really relaxing Saturday is to be able to listen to Felix Hernandez's Rhythm Review program on Newark, New Jersey's WBGO from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the internet. This Saturday, when he first came on, the first thing Felix said was that iconic poet, spoken word artist, vocalist, and musician Gil Scott Heron had made transition the day before on Friday, May 27th. Realizing the importance of Gil Scott Heron on the cultural scene, Hernandez altered his planned show and interspersed Heron's music throughout the program. I had been out of town from Thursday afternoon until Friday night, so when I looked at my emails, there were a ton of messages from all types of folks about the passing of Gil Scott Heron. Some featured links to corporatist media that mentioned his passing, but I noticed so many were framed in the context of his struggle with drug addiction and HIV. Several were downright demeaning to him. I emailed Neil Blake, the founder of the Blake Radio Network, a pioneer in internet radio, who at one time had the most popular radio stations on the internet, his talk show Rainbow Soul and his music station Music Massage. I do a show on Rainbow Soul called the Cyberspace Sanctuary, and I used to do a music program on Music Massage called Message in the Music. I asked Neil if he was interested in doing a tribute to Gil Scott Heron. He said, go for it. I had some things to do on Saturday evening, but I began thinking about what form the show would take, which poems and songs I would feature. Artists like The Last Poets, Gil Scott Heron, Nina Simone, Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind & Fire, Curtis Mayfield, Richie Havens, Tracy Chapman, and Bob Marley were the inspiration for the creation of my Message in the Music radio show. When I had my show Positively Black on WHAT in Philly in the 1990s, I would always start the show with a song or positive message. When I started doing internet radio, I carried that habit over to the various programs I produced and hosted on the stations I was on. I used a lot of Gamble and Huff's Philly International material on the shows, and the theme for my Blake Radio music show and my Harambe show were Message in the Music by the OJs. But over the years, Gil Scott Heron was the one artist I used on a regular basis. In fact, he and Stevie Wonder were the only two artists I devoted an entire program to playing their music on several occasions. Of course, when a famous artist like James Brown, Miriam Makeba, Isaac Hayes, and Levi Stubbs passed, I did special tributes to them. I never met Gil Scott Heron, but I did see him perform thanks to Everett Staton at one of his black expos. I was in North Carolina once at the National Black Theater Festival, and he was supposed to perform at a small club, but it was sold out, so I didn't get a chance to see him. On another occasion, he was scheduled to appear at a venue close by, but he had just been arrested and sentenced to jail. Like so many talented people with keen insight into the real deal about this country, Gil Scott-Heron was plagued with issues because he used his art to wake people up as he pulled the covers off the lies, myths, and okey-doke propagated by America. Like most visionaries and reformers, he was chastised for being authentic, which can be a difficult burden to bear in a society based on lies, myth, and deceit. Of course, he alone was responsible for his life choices, but in a way, his struggles made him even more valuable as an artist. It's chillingly ironic that Gil Scott-Heron is credited with being a major influence on rap and hip-hop, yet commercial hip-hop and rap have devolved into the very pathologies Heron railed against in his poetry and song. Listen to his song, Home is Where the Hatred Is, about the trials of a junkie trying to deal with his habit, or the devastating lure and draw of alcohol in the bottle, or his poems, Whitey's on the Moon and Billy Green is Dead, about the dichotomy of priorities between the white establishment and the least of us in a society of disproportional wealth distribution. These pieces, along with songs like The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, Johannesburg, Message to the Messengers, Show Business, and When You Are Who You are quantum leaps beyond the mindless claptrap and the degenerate drivel of today's commercial hip-hop. We owe a great debt of gratitude to Gil Scott-Heron for being courageous enough to continue to create the kind of poetry and music he did, despite the backlash of white America and comatose Negroes. He kept on keeping on in spite of the refusal of radio stations, even the so-called black ones, to play his material. But those of us who listened to him appreciated his truth, his way of exposing the system, like in King Alfred Plan, Ain't No New Thing, Get Out of the Ghetto Blues, and one of my favorites, The Gun. We understood him when he held up a mirror to our own foolishness, like in Brother and Legend in His Own Mind. Gil Scott-Heron was a profound artist with his finger on the pulse of our lives, as you will readily grasp listening to Message to the Messengers, New York City, Madison Avenue, and Save the Children. I don't have enough time to play all of his poems and songs, but I will give the listeners an ample sampling of his works. I plan to do a tribute to him on my Harambe radio show, The Digital Underground. Log on to www.haramberadio.com and check it out on the on-demand channel, or go to blakeradio.com and listen for the Gil Scott-Heron tribute on Music Massage. And pardon these shameless plugs. I hope there will be a resurgence of interest in his work. That is, if the mind control apparatus doesn't further besmirch his reputation. But even if they do, black folks will appreciate him even more and say a sincere prayer for Gil Scott-Heron to rest in peace. This is Junius Ricardo Stanton from The Rampart. Thank you.
I want to love you.
prior to the break, we listened to a commentary on the passing of Gil Scott-Heron entitled Rest in Peace. Coming out of the break, we heard Quietly Meditate by Leslie Johnson, a bright new artist coming on the scene, singing and playing what I call inspirational music. Full disclosure, she's my wife's cousin, but nonetheless, she's an outstanding talent, and we're going to listen to her. Let her share her experiences and what motivates her to do what she does. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, right here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. We're speaking with Miss Leslie Johnson, who is a songwriter, she's a vocalist, and she's just released her new album, or CD now, I guess dating myself, we're pleased to have her with us. Full disclosure, she's my wife's cousin, but that has no bearing on her talent or the fact that she's well deserving of any kind of exposure and recognition that we can give her. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been playing piano since I was 4 years old. Music was something that was always a big part of my life. My parents sing. My dad plays bass. My brothers play drums. We've always been a musical family. At the age of 12, I told my mom one night that I wanted to heal with music. So it's kind of been a journey from there. I started writing.
You said you wanted to heal?
Heal with music.
Mm-hmm.
Music was always very calming for me. Whenever I was stressed or worried about something, I would go to my piano and just start to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it would bring me such a peace, and I wanted to bring that to other people. So that's what I said at the age of 12, so I wasn't sure, you know, how that journey would go. But at 16, I started writing songs. And then went through a difficult part of my life about 2 or 3 years ago, and when I started really, really writing songs that healed me. And so I was able to, you know, release my album, producing songs that hopefully would heal and bring peace to other people.
Mm-hmm. So that was your design, to put out music that healed, what, emotionally, psychologically, what?
Everything. Whatever way somebody was, you know, going through a situation, something that would bring them peace, calm, you know, mental turmoil, something they could listen to and just find a rest. There was a term that God gave me years ago, and that was, as far as my music, to Selah. And Selah means to pause, stop, and think about something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really wanted my music to do for people. Like, and no matter what they were going through, that once they heard it, they'd be able to just kind of like take a step back from the madness and the turmoil and find some rest and peace.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your inspiration?
My inspiration.
You're relatively young, and you've had a relatively safe life.
Mm-hmm.
You come from a stable family. It's
mm-hmm.
not like you were homeless, or you got put out, or
mm-hmm.
you were, you know, substance abuse or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get your inspiration from?
My inspiration usually just comes from, you know, my own personal walk with God. Anything that I'm going through, dealing with, there's a lot of things He'll speak to me, and I'll just kind of write off of that. The situation I had gone through a few years ago was something, you know, was pretty devastating to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where the bulk of my songs came from, as the nights that I was on my floor crying and in tears. Those are the songs that got me through. So, you know, that's really where my inspiration started from. But normally it comes from even little things, you know, like me going through something with God, and I'll read a devotional, and it's like, it impacts me so much, and then I'll write.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't normally write just out the blue. I don't sit down and say, okay, today I'm going to write a song. It usually comes from me going through something, and then I can write from that place.
So is this something like the inspiration wakes you up at night, and you get up, and that's how you do it? Because you just said you don't intentionally say, okay, I'm going to write,
mm-hmm.
sit down and devote an hour to
mm-hmm.
writing this song.
Sometimes it can be in the middle of the night. Sometimes a song I wrote recently, someone else was going through something, and it kind of just impacted me. And I forgot what verse I had looked up, but I just started writing a song about I will not be shaken, you know, whatever storms you're going through in life, and that's how that song came. So it's not even myself going through things. I'm going to be here about somebody else
mm-hmm.
going through, and it'll just, I'll be praying or crying out to God, and I'll normally start writing a song, I'll just be on my piano playing, and a chord progression will come, and then I'll start thinking of words, and that it pieces itself together that way.
But do you have to sit down and go back over it, or is it the type of thing that the flow keeps going?
Normally, I write songs in a flow that once it comes, so a lot of them come within, I can write an entire song in about 5-10 minutes once I'm in the flow.
Right. The business aspect of it, because it's not like you sought out a record company. You and your father sat down, you planned it out, you recorded it here, you did your own demos, then you went to the did the studio time, that whole piece. So how has that impacted you? Because there's the inspiration, then there's the getting it out there, marketing it, and all that, the quote-unquote business side. So how are you dealing with that?
I'm still trying to figure it all out, honestly. I came into this not really looking for fame or to get a contract. And not a lot of people ask me, well, when are you going to get on the radio? When are you going to take it to a studio? One of my family members knows somebody that works, is like an executive in a record company, wants to give it to her. But I'm not really looking for that. So part of me is kind of torn in that sense. But, God's really opened a lot of doors with me meeting people and being able to get my CD to them, people that know a lot of people, so they're passing it on. So it's kind of like just happening on its own as far as getting me out there and the marketing. My brother was a marketing major, and so he has a lot of good ideas for how to do that. But I guess I'm very cautious about trying to market myself. In essence, I really want it to be about the music and about what God's going to do through the music and not trying to make myself into an artist or someone, in that kind of sense. So just kind of learning it right now.
Mm-hmm. So what's the most challenging aspect of all of that? I mean, I've heard you play. I've seen you, I think the last time we were here, you did something for the family. And you were in the zone, and everybody could tell you were like, wow, she's here, but she's not here. There's this whole the aura about you. So outside of that, there's this cold, hard business thing that you have to do. You're putting out the money to have these CDs pressed, so you don't want to have your basement full of CDs. So how are you going to get your music out, other than word of mouth right now? And doing venues like this.
Right now, that's pretty much the biggest thing that I've been doing. I have a close friend who actually is a producer and is very well connected within the industry. He's been helping me a lot with different ways to get my music out. I have some other friends that know people on the radio, so they've been giving it to them. So it's kind of like I have a lot of people around me that know a lot more than I do, which has been a big help, because before this, I wasn't really focused on the music business, the industry, and all those different things. So I'm looking at different things now about how to get it out there. People that put it on YouTube, like record something so people can start seeing it on YouTube and getting my website up. And I've been invited to sing at several conferences. And so there's people that also are singing, with me that have been invited to sing that are national, international. So, just making the right connections right now at this point. So.
Now, you mentioned a website. Do you have you linked and taken advantage of the social networks, MySpace, Facebook, some of the other venues that are out there that will allow you to post your own videos, allow you to post your own pictures, your own audio, and even if you have a website, you can stream some of your stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook right now. I have a Facebook page.
So people can go and download some of the cuts, the tracks.
People can go. Usually when I put a blast out, I'll have them linked to the websites that I'm on. It's on iTunes. I'm on a website called cdbaby.com and also on Amazon right now. And there's a few others, I believe Rhapsody. So linking to those, people are able to find out my music. I'm just getting hooked up with Twitter, something my brother set me up with. So I am starting to utilize those things. And eventually, once I start making some videos, I'll be putting them on YouTube and create a YouTube page so people can be able to find, especially when I'm singing at conferences and stuff, having people videotape that so that they can see who I am.
How would you classify your art? Because in this culture, everything is pigeonholed. Everybody wants to have this, cookie cutter kind of thing, and so they want to know where they can go to get you. From my perspective, you're not gospel, you're not traditional gospel. What would you say you are?
That's a funny thing, because everyone will always ask me, what's your music like? And I'm not really sure what to tell them, because I'm not sure they really understand. I usually just say it's just worship music. It's just raw. It's very personal, very simple. There's this new genre kind of getting bigger in the Christian world called soaking, which is music which is just intended for you to just kind of like chill out and sit before God and just soak in his presence in essence. So it's kind of, that's where I kind of classify it in a sense, is soaking music, worship music that's just very personal and intimate. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of instrumentation, not a lot of vocalization. It's just very simple.
I was talking to your father and I was saying that I would classify it as inspirational because there is a genre of mm-hmm. music, and there are any number of, say, internet radio stations that would love to have that type of content.
Mm-hmm.
So something you might want to think about.
Yeah.
You know, because they do, like I said, they do try to pigeonhole.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now?
Well, working on really, you know, getting this first CD out. I still have tons of other songs that I've written over the past 5-6 years, and songs that I'm still writing now that I'm working on. Looking for the next project to come out, which will probably be coming out end of the year if we really get started on it. I'll be singing at some conferences coming up. I think one next month in Middletown, Delaware. There's another one I was invited to sing. It's a 3-day worship, just all worship conference called All Consuming Fire in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, right now I'm just getting a lot of open doors to mm-hmm. sing places. And I started a publishing company so I could have my music published through me. So I'm really working on getting mm-hmm. that fully running and set up. And so yeah, there's a lot of things on my plate
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm. How can people contact you?
I have a website, which is lesliejohnsonmusic.com, and there's a contact page on there. You can send me an email. Pretty much my contact information is there, and if you want to have me sing somewhere, just connect with me. That's all.
So you have a picture of the CD.
The cover.
Do you have any
picture.
Tracks that people can sample, like partial tracks, or can they download? Do you have e-commerce on the website?
It's getting set up. Working with a designer right now. Right now, it's just a starter page where you can kind of just find me, read a little bit about me, and contact me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to listen to it, you can go on iTunes and search for either Quiet Meditations or Lesli Johnson, Lesli, or go to cdbaby.com and amazon.com, and you can listen to all the tracks there and also download them mm-hmm. from those websites.
Mm-hmm. What's been your biggest apprehension about all this? Because I mean, you seem very confident in your talent, but I would imagine, you know, there's this whole comfort zone that in order to go to the next level that you have to step out of. So does that bother you? Does that give you any pause, or are you confident about that?
I'm confident in the gift that God has given me. You know, it's developed, it's grown. I'm apprehensive about, in essence, when you talk about, you know, getting into business, about being changed to something that I don't mm-hmm. want to be. You know, I was talking with someone, they said, you know, sometimes they'll take your music or take you and try to develop you into something, and even, you know, like cut your songs or do different things with your songs, and that's something that I just, if I was to get a record deal or something, I don't want to give up the rawness of what God has given me. I don't want to, you know, change or try to be something that I'm not. And that's, you know, one of my challenges. Like, you know, I know the music that I do. I know the things that I do. And sometimes people will say, well, you should do it this way or you should do it that way. So that's sometimes I'm apprehensive about kind of getting lost.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in
well,
it.
I mean, the way the music is going now, the whole paradigm of the record company has shifted. So now you do have a lot more say and a lot more control. Now you don't necessarily have the distribution networks or the venue networks that a lot of the big conglomerates control, but you still have more control over your music. Now that's a good thing, but then again, you don't have the manpower and the networks of the traditional system behind mm-hmm. you, like the radio stations, like mm-hmm. Clear Channel or Radio One or the venues, mm-hmm. because they even exist in the gospel mm-hmm. world too. Even though I wouldn't categorize you as a traditional gospel
mm-hmm.
artist, but You know, so you're really actually going to be on the cutting edge doing your own thing. If you don't want to be subsumed in the current paradigm, you're going to be really doing your own thing.
Mhm. And I'm honestly okay with that, because I'm not really looking for worldwide fame. You know, if it happens, it'll be because God wants it to happen, not because I'm trying to force something and get it out there. You know, even if the music touches one person, or you know, I go to a church and, you know, somebody hears it and they're blessed by it, that's all that kind of really matters to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm kind of leaving it. I'm doing my part as much as I can do, but I'm kind of really leaving it up to God as far as Him giving the increase on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've done it. I put it out there. I've been obedient to share the songs that He's given me. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Where would you like to see it go? Over and beyond the... Because you're always going to be an artist. You're always going to have the muse, because that's what you do and that's what you've done. But where would you like to see it go? Yeah, if you already said you don't want to, you're not looking for fame and fortune, but where would you like to see it go?
It's been prophesied over me several times that I would be singing internationally and doing things like that. So I would love to, you know, I'm a kind of very reserved shy kind of person. So I've kind of envisioned, you know, being able to travel and sing at conferences all over the world and, you know, whatever venue, however many people, just kind of, you know, in that vein of prophetic worship or soaking music, of being able to do that and kind of do ministry full time, you know, that I'm able to have the means to take this music around the world.
So. Now, the new paradigm is not just audio or audible. You know, you just don't hear the music and the vocal. Now it's the videos and all of that. So have you given much thought to that?
Honestly, I haven't. You know, some of the songs I usually can see in my mind, like what I would do if I was going to make a video of it or something. But, yeah, I'm really just starting to think about those things. So.
Have you spoken to the film people, because that's a video is like making a mini movie, a mini motion picture. So you have to lay out the storyboards, the talk to the visual people and get their input in it. Or do you feel that you can do most of that your own, you know, conceptually on your own?
No. If I get to that point, I would definitely seek someone that knows. I can see it in my head, but I would need somebody to really take that and put it into an actual concept.
You know, some of the things you can control are your website and your immediate network. So how do you envision your network, Facebook and your website playing out, promoting you? Because that's the key is not having a garage full of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody'll know what's going on. So how are you going to use, or how at this point have you envisioned using the existing technology within your means to help you do that?
It's already kind of started now, as far as the people that have heard about it through the social networking venues. They've told other people, and then I've gotten calls, and then I'll go to that place to sing or something, and then other people will hear about me, and then they'll tell other people. So it's really, for me, it's been kind of word of mouth right now. I completely sold out of all the CDs I initially had, and I just had to get another shipment in. So the social networking right now, for me, it works. And, you know, as things, or, you know, as things progress, it might not be as advantageous, but I'm really working. My website designer really has a lot of good ideas for how to get, you know, the marketing, like if somebody was to Google it
to come up first,
the search engine, all those things, they're working with me on that. So I'm kind of leaving that to the professionals right now and guiding me in those areas.
Do you believe in the urban legends where people, you know, sold their CDs out of the back of their car? I mean, are you prepared to do that, or you want to do something else?
We pretty much do that right now. Like, we'll travel with them because we'll just run into people that we haven't seen in years that know me. My mom's like, oh, yeah, you know, she's a CD, and they'll buy it. And so It is actually in an online bookstore. I met someone that had a Christian bookstore online, so she bought it. There's some stores there, and so we're also looking to possibly get it on like Pandora, which is the online radio, and also in like Christian bookstores in the area. There's a Christian bookstore not too far that does open houses. So every other Friday, I believe, they have artists, local artists come and sing. So we've already been in contact with them to find a date where I could come sing and you can sell your CDs in there. So it's really now kind of on foot, just looking for opportunities.
We've done all this talking and we haven't even mentioned the name of the CD. What's the name of the CD?
The name of the CD is Quiet Meditations.
Okay. How can people get copies of it and how can people find out more about you?
You can get copies of it from iTunes, Amazon, and CDBaby.com, or if you go to my website, which again is LeslieJohnsonMusic.com, you can fill out the contact form, you know, if you would like an actual hard copy, and we can work out payment and start sending it to you. So the website also is a little bit about me. Eventually, as it gets more developed, we'll find out more. And So
what type of venues will you be performing at in the not too distant future? Do you have an itinerary for, say, the next 8 weeks?
I will be, I believe it's the end of June. I have to check the schedule and exact dates. My mom's been handling all of the scheduling kind of things. She's my momager, as I like to call her. The end of June, I'll be at a church in Middletown singing. And then I believe the next scheduled appointment, this weekend coming up, I'll be at the DoubleTree Hotel in Wilmington singing for the Catalyst for Change breakfast. And then in October, I'll be at a conference at the Sheraton Hotel and Suites in downtown Wilmington singing for the All-Consuming Fire All-Worship Conference. So right now, that's what's on the schedule going forward.
Okay. All right. What are some of the titles of some of the tracks or cuts on the CD?
Well, there's a title track, which is called Quietly Meditate. One of the most personal songs to me on the CD is called Deeper, Higher, Closer. And I wrote that song. It was actually written as a prayer to God. I was literally writing in my journal, writing something from my heart. I had gone through that really rough time, and I remember one night it was just in tears. And so I just started writing. And I remember looking at the words that I was writing and went to my piano and just kind of started singing it out to God. And then next 20 minutes, there was the song. Another song, one of my favorites, is called More Than Enough. And I actually wrote that song by accident. I was singing at a place, it was called a prayer room, and I was doing like a two-hour worship set. And I kind of just started singing this phrase, and it just caught on with everybody in the room, and we sang it for like the next hour and a half. And so that's kind of how that song came to be, and just added little things here and there to really make it a more fleshed out idea. Another song that I really like, which is called Your Mercy and Kindness, and it's really just plain and simple. It's me, the piano, and there's a guitar on it, and it's written straight out of Psalm 103, which is one of my favorite psalms. So I wanted to write a song from that, and
Now, you think you've had an advantage because both your parents were performers, because we used to follow them around when they were part of the Way, you know, the group The Way. So that was like way before you were born.
I don't know if I would say I have an advantage. I mean, it just, music's always ingrained in me. I honestly started playing piano by accident. At four, I just started tinkering with the piano, and then I started taking lessons. So from there, it just kind of went. My dad always wanted me to major in music, but it's not something I ever wanted to do. I didn't want to do music
performance. I thought you were a music major one time.
At one point, I was doing, which was a worship arts major, which is going to train you to be like a worship leader. So it was more focused on the leading part than the musical part. There was still a component of it. But as far as like music performance and really studying that out, I mean, I took lessons for over 12 years. But so was it something I necessarily wanted to do as like an occupation or with my life? I liked to sing, and I was forced to sing in church. Everything that came up, I had to sing. So, you know, I think honestly, God really just took the talent that He gave me as a young age and just developed it from there. So, all of this kind of to me wasn't planned; it just really happened, and I'm kind of just on the journey with it.
So, what type of advice would you give to a young person who knows or feels strongly that they have a gift and they have some questions or doubts about how they can actualize it and how to put it out there so that they can get the fulfillment of doing it and then just seeing where it can take them.
And the best advice that I can give that I've kind of lived by is to just seek God on it. That's all I really did. You know, with everything, he led the way. It wasn't something I just, you know, was trying to get out there, you know, asking him what to do, how to do it, and then opportunities came. You know, and being dedicated to it, you know, that was something I had to learn, and things just don't materialize
right,
out of anywhere.
Right, right.
You have to be dedicated to your talent, to your gift. You know, if you want to be a musician, you got to practice.
Right,
you know,
right.
You have to spend hours honing your gift, and that's something even I'm considering now, going back to take lessons, to just increase my skills on piano. Like, I can play, but there's things that I want to do more of. So, you know, it's just being dedicated to it, and if you really want it, setting your heart to do it, and just, you know, believing for the increase.
Are you planning to look at the technical aspects of the music? Because you play, your father plays, and I know through the process, this has been well over a year, putting all this particular project together. And so did you really get into the technical part of the recording sessions, or is it more the artistic flow that captured your attention?
I was pretty much fully involved in the entire process, whether I wanted to or not, because we were kind of doing it, you know, so learning the levels. I mean, I could pretty much now set up the system and record something myself. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing because I'm not in the dark about what they're doing.
And you're not intimidated by being in the studio.
Even with the studio with my engineer, like with the levels and being able to work directly with him, okay, this needs to come up, this needs to come down. Not just kind of like, okay, you do it. I'm just going to sing. I don't want to care about it. So it gave me a lot of experience. Something, you know, I know now. I don't necessarily want to do it the next time because it was a lot trying to balance both the artistic and technical side at the same time. But
It has its advantages because you know, because you had people who had your best interests at heart, and one, your father, and then the people that you work with in the professional studio. So now you know, so you can't be really taken advantage of or gagged. Because, I mean, I don't know what it is now, but I remember I did a project and it was like $50 an hour for studio time. So this was like 20 years ago. So I know it's a whole lot more now. So even though it might have been arduous, you know, especially working under your dad, I mean, in the long run, it's going to help you. So, okay. Any final statements you want to share with our listeners about the project, about how important it is to you for as a person to follow your dreams?
About the project, you know, if you have the opportunity to really download it, and I'm not just saying this because I wrote the songs, but, you know, they are really, just really beautiful songs, and I can't take the credit for it, honestly, because everything, every note, every word, honestly, came from God's heart to mine, and then I just released. You know, and it's a blessing to be able to be doing this. I feel humbled every day about it because it's not, as I said, not something I wanted to do. I kind of just came into it. And it's just amazing to see how God can use our weakness for his glory and to bring something out of a place of brokenness. So even in those places that you're struggling or feeling like you're completely lost or hopeless in, there really is light there. And he really, really will turn that around and if you let him.
There's a psychologist that says, you know, when you go through stuff, you're stronger in the broken places. You know, just like a bone. The bone gets broken. It's stronger at the break point than it was before.
Yeah, so these songs really are the beauty coming from ashes. And there's so many more. As I said, it would be a whole other project and maybe two coming out from all the songs just written. So.
Okay. Before we let you go, give us the URL for your website and your Facebook and any other information that people could use to get access to the material.
My Facebook page actually has my entire bio on it, and it's, you can search for Leslie Johnson Music, and it's Leslie spelled L-E-S-L-I. There's no E. It's very important or you won't find me. My website, again, is www.lesliejohnsonmusic.com, And I think those are the biggest two places you can find them. Okay. And again, you can buy the CD on iTunes, cdbaby.com. And CD Baby, you can actually buy a physical copy and download it. And Amazon, you can download it there too.
Okay. Well, thank you. And folks can say they heard it here first because we're going to play some of the cuts on it. And keep your eye on Leslie Johnson and your ear out for her because she's going to be big.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Closing out today's program, we featured Leslie Johnson and an interview with her, a bright, young, up-and-coming vocalist musician in the genre of inspirational or inspirational Christian music. Beginning the program, we gave a tribute to Gil Scott Heron, who was a poet, vocalist, musician, and has been considered one of the major influences in popular music, particularly spoken word and hip-hop and rap in today's culture. And of course you heard our commentary and our take on that, but we wish him rest in peace and we wish Leslie the best as she begins to soar in her new vocation. And as always, as we close out, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton wishing each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, power, but most of all, courage. The courage to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. And your life manifests magnificently as you actualize the innate divinity, talent, and genius that lies within you. Until next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates. No denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.